Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The Old Testament reading is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm comes from the 27th chapter. Please read responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock.
Even now my head is lifted up above my enemies, surround me. Therefore, I will walk in the sacrifice in the sanctuary, sacrifices of rejoicing. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. The epistle reading comes from the first chapter of Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the households of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. And not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Oh my. There is a lot of fear around. In fact, Joseph and Mary headed to Egypt for fear. They headed out of Judea to Galilee for fear. And now, having been baptized, having resisted the devil in the wilderness, having heard about John's arrest, Jesus now flees. In each case, they flee the empire. Life for Jesus is dangerous at every turn. Herod and his sons keep increasing the danger. How does a follower of Jesus deal with the empire and what it exacts? Raj Nadella writes on the Working Preacher website, "It is too tempting to make peace with the empire in order to advance our economic and political interests. There is inevitably some cost for confronting the empire, but the cost of not confronting it is much greater. The very loss of our identity as church, which was founded on the ethos of challenging the empire. A church that joins hands with the empire or remains silent in the face of it is a contradiction in terms." And when Jesus flees, his flight is in complete accord with Matthew's telling of life in the empire. There is much to fear with these kings and rulers who exercise ruthless power for the sake of staying in power. Note Herod and the massacre of the infants. There was much to fear when kings and rulers leave successors like Archelaus to continue their iron-fisted control. There is much to fear when the cost of confronting the king, Herod Antipas, about his moral failures and his political terror for the poor and destitute. Note John being arrested, and we know the rest of that story. Indeed, Raj Nadella names it for that first century time, though the costs may not be quite as overt in the United States today. I wonder how these patterns continue to play out. I wonder how policies of the late 20th century throughout the globe have led to destabilization, and that destabilization affects people's ability to make a living. It threatens their safety. It emboldens governments far and wide to be even more coercive. In the midst of this reality, Raj Nadella reminds us that a church that joins hands with the empire or remains silent in the face of it is a contradiction of terms. Yet when Jesus flees, he is not idle. He is not hiding out. Instead, he proceeds to proclaim good news. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. His message is of, well, change, of transformation, of living into a new way of being. But that is not all. He begins to call people to follow him. Now, we already know that John had disciples who were following him and learning from him out in that wilderness. We know that all the rabbis had schools of people learning from them. Some of us wonder how those earliest disciples dropped everything to follow Jesus. Several years ago, I watched a video by Rob Bell about the disciples. He speculates that all the boys studied under rabbis or in the local synagogue. However, there came a time when the boys who did not measure up in their knowledge of Scripture or in their knowledge of Midrash or by whatever measure were cut loose. These boys would go home to their family and to their father's work. They were rejects. And Bell suggests that when we recognize this possibility, then having a rabbi walk by and say, "Hey, follow me. You can be my disciple. In fact, I'll make you fish for people." It sounds very different. Being selected after experiencing rejection might move one to drop everything. Either way, Jesus coming by and extending this invitation is life-changing. It is certainly a change in direction, a change in the way of being. Answering the call of Jesus comes with a sense of urgency and immediacy in the gospel accounts. I wonder how the people of God in the church experience this call. Jesus has certainly issued it in the call in the waters of baptism. The church frames that call as fivefold: to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. By design, answering this call changes our lives. It is not a one-time thing. Rather, God continually works within each of us, transforming us, drawing us more deeply into God's very own mission. Jesus calls it the kingdom of heaven. So now, how has your encounter with Jesus changed your life? Take a moment. Think about how Jesus changes your life. Crystallize it down to one sentence. Now turn to your neighbor. And tell your neighbor how Jesus changes your life. And listen to their response, their story.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.